Dr. Ryan Easterday is a biologist working for the University of Oslo in Norway. Jim Arbrester is currently the Senior Partner Service Specialist with the National FFA Organization. Now, Jim was Ryan's FFA advisor back in high school, and both are joining us on the program today. Well, gentlemen, how long has it been since you have had the chance to speak to one another?
In a few years, like almost 17, I believe.
I know, that's life ago, Jim.
Well, Jim, let's start with you. How did you get started as an ag educator, and what drove you to be an advisor back at that time? Because that's really going to help set the stage for our discussion today.
I'll take you back to 1971, long before Ryan was even thought of for the mom and dad. Ryan and I grew up in the same community, Yuma, Arizona. I've known Ryan's grandfather and his father since I was a young man working in my dad's parts house. But 1971, I started at high school, at Yuma High School, which is in Yuma, Arizona. It's the other high school from the high school that Ryan graduated, the crosstown rival. And my ag teacher must have seen something in me because he pushed a little bit for me to get engaged in some of the leadership activities that were offered. Went to a junior college there at Arizona Western College and spent 2 years with Dr. Cox. Mr. Cox at that time. And then Dave Cox, Dr. Cox became Dave Cox, Mr. Cox became Dr. Cox at the University of Arizona. Dr. Cox probably was very instrumental in I can remember very clearly as a freshman in college, him sitting down with myself and another gentleman by the name of Dale Crabtree that Ryan will recognize the name. Dale actually taught at Antelope High School 30 miles east of us. And I can remember Dr. Cox looking at Dale and I saying, I believe you two have the ability to be good ag teachers. And to this day, I don't know if it was premonition or just a personal gut feeling from Dr. Cox, but he was right. Dale and I spent 18 and 19 years respectively in the classroom teaching in the Yuma area and ran successful programs. I think why I became an ag teacher and why I was teaching agriculture was my desire to help young people understand the industry of agriculture and help young people seek opportunity that was given to me through being an ag education major, being in agriculture in high school, and then seeing the successes that my peers that were at FFA with me, as well as the successes of my students be passed on. Ryan is a good example of a young man that came into the program and accepted the responsibilities of leadership and then accepted the responsibilities to be a leader of his peers and accept the role of leader. And that's a unique situation. We're working with high school students, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds, when they want to step up because it's a desire to be a leader, as Ryan did, and as Ryan's fellow officers did throughout my time at COFA. Because when you take a young person at 16, 17 years of age and you say you're now a leader, and that comes with the responsibility of being a role model, and that comes with the responsibility of being an example for others in the program and others in the community, that comes with a lot of weight.
So, Ryan, how did you first find out about the FFA, and why did you make the decision to join and, of course, to get as involved as you did?
Being a kid and in Yuma, one of the big things is the Yuma County Fair, and I was always in 4-H as a kid, and I'd always, you know about the FFA, and you know that it's kind of next natural progression, at least for me, from 4-H.
Ryan, Jim and yourself go way back, and I know both he and the FFA experience had a significant impact on where you are in your career. So before we get into the specifics of your current work, talk a little about that inspiration as well as what skills you gathered during that time.
In the FFA, what I really didn't realize is how much more it was than just agriculture and education. In terms of just practical skills, it was pretty amazing of what you learn in terms of welding, plumbing, horticulture, animal husbandry. Once you develop that kind of skill set, after a while, you kind of start realizing that you can do just about anything you ever wanted to do. So just as a practical foundation, it was pretty amazing in terms of just the agricultural education. But in terms of leadership and other things that you learn in the actual FFA organization, it's pretty amazing to be that young of a person and developing those types of skills. You go to college and you realize this is a lot of these people's first time speaking in public or putting together presentations, and just general leadership abilities, taking responsibility, as Jim said earlier, and trying to accomplish your goals.
Now, Dr. Easterday, as we mentioned, you're a biologist working for the University of Oslo in Norway, which just happens to be where you're speaking to us from now. Recently, your team's research regarding Black Death hit the media outlets around the globe, introducing a new perspective on where Black Death may have originated. Would you delve into that a bit further and tell us more about that research and what it reveals?
Well, initially, and we do know from historical records, we know that the Black Death came to Europe in the 1300s through a singular introduction, came through the Black Sea. There was a port city on the Black Sea, and that's where it kind of traces back to, that it entered Europe that year and spread throughout Europe, and that these plagues continued over the next 400 years in Europe. This is what we knew. But one of my colleagues, Boris Schmidt, we had access to a data set, basically, of all the outbreaks of plague in Europe over the between the 13 and 1700s. And basically what we're finding is we're finding a climate or weather signal from Central Asia that's driving the reintroductions of plague into Europe. And we can pick that up through historical records and through tree ring data that we can link to climate in that area. So the basic idea is that under good weather conditions, that everybody who's in agriculture knows, you get good weather conditions, you get good primary production. And that's kind of the same thing, as you get very, very good primary production. So you get all these plants growing, which is very good conditions for rodents. And rodents are where plague resides, basically. And you get these big productions in rodents one year, and then you'll get a plague outbreak. Well, these areas where these rodents exist are right in the middle of the old Silk Roads. And so when you had big plague outbreaks that happened out there in the deserts of Central Asia, you have the Silk Roads going through, and you have humans picking up and moving it to Europe.
That's a fascinating field of study. What made you want to go down that particular path?
Well, in terms of the research, animal pathogens have interested me since high school. So being an FFA and stuff, that was some of the most fascinating stuff for me, actually, was in animal husbandry was the disease side of things. And I've actually been doing anthrax research, and I think that's what I actually did my project on in FFA, or one of the agricultural science classes. But coming to Norway was a large, circuitous route, kind of. I came here actually because of a girl, and found a job once I got here, and it just happened that they were doing research on a similar topic to what I've done before.
Well, Jim, back to you. Now, as an advisor, I know you understand very well how diverse the range of jobs in agricultural education can afford its members. Ryan's work is certainly a perfect example. Would you talk a little bit about how expansive an ag education can be?
The first thing I always try to impress upon my young students as a freshman is that through their supervised agricultural experience program, they would get the opportunity to tailor things to fit their personal interests. And that was basically the homework for my agricultural sciences classes. And allowing the students the opportunity to explore many of the different careers that were available in agriculture. We have 300 plus careers available now. And having the resources where the students could go out and either through research or through job shadow or through actually starting their own enterprises within that career area, they were able to get the experience. And Ryan will probably tell you, if he can remember, that every year we spent time, whether it was freshman year, sophomore, junior, senior year, talking about careers, career pathways, and what their plan was for what they accomplished in the last year and where their plan was moving forward. You know, I knew Ryan had a great love for livestock and animals. I knew that Ryan had a love for agriculture because his entire family, his grandfather before I knew Ryan. I think I bought one of my first show calves from his granddad back in the 70s when I was showing livestock. So when you talk about the family tie that Ryan had, he had the family support to be able to explore all the opportunities in agriculture. You know, Ryan had a lot of opportunities to him. He could have gone back home after he got his base degree and went into the fertilizer business with his dad, or he could have looked at some of the livestock that were still floating around that were the Easter Day Brangus brand that he could have picked up and continued to breed. So he had a lot of opportunities and a lot of choices. But I think Ryan took his passion for outdoors and biology and wildlife and then livestock production, and he took that and kept building on what his successes were. I think the greatest thing for us to impress upon the listeners is that agricultural education and FFA provides the opportunity for the young people to explore in a safe environment with supervised by their parents, by employers, by an ag teacher, and they're allowed to make some mistakes. And those mistakes are life, sometimes are life lessons, but we're allow these young people to make mistakes in a safe environment so they learn.
In closing, Ryan, if you were talking to someone who had just joined FFA or maybe was considering joining, what advice would you give them to make sure they get the most out of their experience?
Yeah, eat it up. I mean, just take every opportunity that you're given. You're going to learn in life that as you get older and older, there's less low-hanging fruit. I guess as a young person in the FFA, you're given so many opportunities, and you may not see the world in the same way as you would after you graduate, but you're given so much free life lessons and skills that will stick with you the rest of your life, and that you can begin developing so much earlier than anybody else, and it'll put you so much further ahead in the field if you take those opportunities now, and a lot of opportunities that you'll never get again. So try everything at least once, and once you find something you're good at, stick with it.
Ryan, Jim, it's been exceptional having you both join us here on the program this week, especially being able to have you both here together.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We appreciate your time. Again, we've been talking with Dr. Ryan Easterday, a biologist working out of Norway, and his former FFA advisor, Jim Arbroster, who is with the National FFA Organization.